chapter 4, and we are in the last verse, verse 32, being what we are. Same title this week as last week in a two-part message here. Being what we are. We are a new creation in Christ. We are the new man. We just need to put on the new man. That's what we've been sharing for several weeks. Putting off the old man and putting on the new man. We have been taken into the detailed character of the old man by God's word. And we see that the old man is a lying, angry, thieving, filthy talking old man with bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and all malice. And we've taken a look at the opposite of the characteristics of the old man. We see that what the new man is all about and how the new man is described where to put on. The new man speaks truth, practices control, works with his hands, builds up and encourages with his words. And tonight, we're going to finish this chapter with three characteristics of the new man. Verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." We're going to start with the conduct of the Christian as we look at these three characteristics of the new man. And as we look into these three things, we see a principle, if you will, of love in them all. And we discover the impossibility of carrying these out without love. These three things are very much needed today. Needed in the church. You know, because we're all different. And we're going to have our differences. No matter how mild or of what nature they may be. And with the new man put on, we're able to be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving one another. Let's look at the first one tonight. Be ye kind. First of all, let's not gloss over that word be. That word be has meaning. And it's the idea of becoming. This is what we are becoming as we put on the new man. It's a process, and we'll become kinder all the time. It's something that's progressive in the new man. To be kind means to be gentle, caring, helpful, courteous, good, giving, and I like this, showering one another with favor. That's what the people of God ought to be doing. I can't help but think about the meal ministry being an ideal thing in that. Now, not just because I had talked about it this week, but it's a great example of showering other members with favor. Some are able to prepare a meal and travel to deliver a meal where others can't, whether it be something to do with their health or someone or something else. And the report I have is that everyone considers it an opportunity to do this, and they're blessed after taking some bread, taking some food to someone, spending a few minutes of fellowship with them, and then going away, being able to consider what they've done. It's an outward expression of the kindness of the new man that's in our heart. He's planted inside. Be ye kind. The Holy Spirit guides and influences this action from the new man. Without the Holy Spirit and the shedding abroad of the love of God in our hearts, we would just do unto others as they do unto us. But that can be in a negative sense. There's a negative rule in that for some people. You know, if someone's nice to you, you're going to be nice back. If someone is mean to the old man's going to be mean back. And what reward is there in any of that? As we talk about that, that's the old man. And we're to put off the old man. We're to put on the new man. And as we do, we are going to steadily become kind. Kindness is a rare quality today, but we're commanded to show it. And we're commanded to show it not as the rule, if you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. You're mean to me, I'm going to be mean to you. But we're to be kind to those who don't deserve it. Our response is to be unconditionally kind. Kind no matter what's coming our way. You know, kind is related to the word kin. So we're to treat each other like family. We're to treat others as though they're family. Let me qualify that with how family's supposed to be to one another then, okay? I'll try not to go into detail out of, but there's a man that owned his own business in the Houston area, and his slogan was, "We'll treat you like family." And then it came out in the news that he was abusive to his wife, and that commercial kept rolling. "Hey, come here, we'll treat you like family." Somebody said, "I don't want to go there if that's how you treat family." I'm not talking about the way we could treat family. I'm talking about the way family should be treated. I'm talking about how Paul spoke to Timothy. And he talked about treating the elder as a father, treating the younger as a brother, the elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters. We're kindness and kin. Those words are kin. They're related to one another. And we're to treat each other with a love like that. When we're kind, we're giving evidence of the truth of our salvation. The evidence that we're a Christian. It's a sign of the saved. It's a sign that the Holy Spirit is in control when we're kind. Because that's an attribute of heaven. That's something that the Lord gives to us, to be kind. Not only to be kind, but to be tender-hearted. As we talk about tender-hearted, this is bowels of compassion. It's understanding. Tender-heartedness is love and it's warmth. Tender-heartedness gives us a desire to get up underneath someone else's burden with them and just try to prop them up and give them some relief. You know, there's an old saying, a friend in need is a friend indeed. But according to a lot of people's actions, a friend in need is someone to stay far away from. But when we put on the new man, there's a desire given deep in the bowels of our heart that we might go to someone in their time of need, in their heavy burden, and we might help them carry their load. That's not an automatic response from a person. But when we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit and we're putting on the new man, that's what's going to happen. When we place effort into putting on the new man and God blesses the effort, which is crucial, then we're going to be kind and we're going to be tender-hearted. We can't use the excuse that someone else, well, they're operating in the old man. I just can't. I just can't be tender-hearted to someone who acts like they don't care and acts like they don't deserve it. There's no clause in this. There's no exclusion in this. For us, we're to be kind. Our response is to be tender-hearted. If we don't, we grieve the Holy Spirit. We're either going to be kind or tender-hearted or grieve the Holy Spirit. within our deepest inward parts, the new man's going to show compassion and pity and love. Or if we put the old man on, we're going to cause sorrow to the heart of God. Be kind, be tender-hearted. And one more thing in the conduct of the Christian is forgiving. We're to be gracious to others and pardon the wrongs that are committed against us. We get hurt, others cause us pain, and the new man does something about that. When we walk in the new man, we cancel the debt. We're not owed for that. I'm not saying it's that simple, but I don't want to flower it all up where we lose the absolute truth of how the new man walks. The new man forgives. The new man cancels the debt. The new man doesn't wait for an apology or doesn't wait for the request for forgiveness. Have you ever been humbled before the Lord about a wrong that you've done to another brother or sister in Christ, and you've gone to them to ask forgiveness, and they said, "I've already forgiven you"? Or maybe the Lord's laid that on your heart, and you settled that long before they came and asked you for forgiveness. That's what the new man does. The new man doesn't wait for the request. The new man forgives. The new man pardons the offense. The ability to forgive. Man, that's a sermon title right there. That's a tough subject. I don't know why, but I like speaking on the tough subjects. Not because I'm good at them, I fail at them. Maybe it's because I know I need them. The ability to forgive. The ability to forgive creates the sweetest, strongest fellowship that any church could ever have. Putting on the new man and forgiving, it's a valuable contribution to the well-being of the church. It's amazing what unseen things go on that can cause harm to the church, and then maybe someone that maybe you don't see very active here, but they are great in the ability to forgive. They've practiced walking in the new man, and they're doing that, and they're praying for others. We have no idea sometimes what all people are doing to contribute to the well-being of the church. Ah, Brother Kenneth, you're talking about forgiveness, and man, this is a tough subject. You wouldn't believe what I'm going through. Forgiving is just not so easy, not for me right now. Or there is just this one thing and that thing, and I'll just never forgive. Well, what happens if we don't forgive? Verse 31. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice. When we withhold forgiveness, it's a serious problem for us. It's not a serious problem for the one we're withholding forgiveness from. It's not. But it's very hurtful to us. Refusing to forgive is personalizing our front doormat with Satan. You are welcome here. Verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. So with all of this, we must ask. The new man is to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. When we don't do this, how is our worship to the Lord? Truly, how is it really? Let me go ahead and answer that and be easy on us all with it. It's not too good. It's not too good when we're not putting on the new man and walking in the things of the new man. The new man must be put on so the very best thing can be done about the personal aches and pains and heartbreaks and hurts that others bring to us and put on us as they come our way. We must put on the new man to do the very best thing, and that is forgive them. There's something within us that holds back sometimes and frets over that. It's the very best thing for us to do. It's what God has given us to do, to cancel the debt. When we're holding on, we're hurting ourselves. But we can let it go and give it to God. This is the conduct of the Christian: to be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another. It wouldn't hurt to write that on the bathroom mirror so it's the first thing we see in the morning. It wouldn't do any damage at all to post it to the dashboard of our car, so we'll see it when we get in our car to drive down the road, and we can think about that all day, all morning long on the way to work. We should put it on a plaque and set it on our desk. We should frame it and hang it on the living room wall. We should make it the wallpaper on our cell phone. To be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another. That is God's plan for the character in our lives. That's what God demands of the character in our lives, that we put on this new man. The conduct for the Christian. Before we move on, let's also notice the conduct toward the Christian. I want you to notice the two times we have a one another in here. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. You know, we can forgive the lost. We can be kind and tenderhearted to them, but the lost play by a different set of rules. It's not going to be reciprocated, but it's to be mutual among the children of God. When we're all putting off the old man and putting on the new man, there's going to be a sharing of kindness, of tenderheartedness, and we are going to be forgiving one another. Well, there's the conduct for the Christian. How about the cause for the conduct? Look at the end of verse 32. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, God has been kind, and He's been very tender-hearted to us. God has forgiven us. Others hurt us, cause us pain, do us damage, but not like we have done to God. We don't want to see that score. What we've done to Him is worse than what anyone has done to us. Yet God is kind in return to us. Psalm 103:10, He does not give us what we deserve. He's tender to us, though we have offended Him. God has forgiven us. Anytime we want forgiveness, we can have it. I don't mean that as playing a game with God, but when we become broken and contrite and we confess our sins and we agree with God, we have forgiveness. So in that sense, we can go to Him and have forgiveness from Him given anytime we want it. Though we've offended Him, He's forgiven. We've grieved Him deeply, but He grants forgiveness. And with that grace that He has shown to us, we're to show it to others. The new man is supernatural. the new man treats others the way God has treated us. Only in the new man can that happen. And that's what God requires. What moves us to forgive? God forgiving us. How much are we to forgive? The Bible says 70 times 7, and we know that's not 490. That's an endless number. That's an endless amount of times. We're to forgive to the extent that God has forgiven us. Oh, there's a big difference in human forgiveness and heavenly forgiveness. And when we put on the new man, we're able to do that. See, the secret to forgiveness is not looking at the person who offended us and their offense. The secret is to look to God and the forgiveness that He has offered to us. Not what somebody did to you, but what God has done for you. That's where the focus is of the Christian that leads us to forgiveness. Well, we've looked at the conduct for the Christian. The cause for the conduct, God has been kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving to us. And the next thing I want to talk about caused a total rearrangement of this entire message, and that is the cost for the cause. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even, get this, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God has forgiven you and I because of Christ's sake. Because Christ died for our sins. God doesn't just forgive us. It cost God to forgive you and I. It cost Him His most precious, His most prized love possession, His only Son. God gave everything to be able to forgive you and I. He sacrificed and He suffered to give us forgiveness that we do not deserve. He forgives us for Christ's sake. Jesus Christ died for us so we could be forgiven. He appointed His Son to take our place, and Jesus went to our cruel, bloody cross. And He suffered in our place for the punishment that was for us. The Son took our place at the will of the Father. The Father willed that His only begotten Son would suffer for you and I. And by that, God forgives. Even as God, for Christ's sake, see it, hath forgiven you. It cost God everything to forgive us. It cost us nothing to forgive. It cost us nothing now. He everything, us, just to be obedient to the Lord and to trust Him by faith and to put on the new man and to cancel the debt against us. We can freely do that. It was a high price for God. It's free for us to do. I'm not going to talk about the expense of our pride in it. We want to get rid of that. That's no sacrifice and no cost at all. We don't want that. That's what tries to get in the way, but it's really free for us to forgive. God forgave all. He sacrificed Himself for all sin through His Son. He paid the price. Now we simply freely forgive. It doesn't cost you and I anything to cancel the debt of another. We are indebted to God and we are obligated to forgive because Jesus paid that price for the offense against us. Okay? Okay, what happens where we need to forgive? Whatever has transpired, whatever has been done, Jesus paid for that because He died for all sin. Okay? So we can then freely forgive. Consider this as we close. Jesus died for all of our sins. He has saved us from our sins. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. He has forgiven us and He has pardoned us. Yet we do not walk perfectly throughout the rest of this life. We still sin. We are commanded in the continual sense to confess our sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what are we confessing? All of our sins? I don't think any Christian's ever done that. We confess our known sins. And Captain Obvious here, but we don't confess our unknown sins. How about the Christian who gets away from the Lord? Maybe a Christian isn't walking with the Lord for 5 years before he goes to be with the Lord. It's very possible they haven't confessed 5 years of sin. Yet we're going to heaven, though we haven't confessed all of our sins. And even that backslider who truly knows the Lord, they were miserable in that time, but they're going to be with the Lord because Jesus paid for all of our sins. And so go with me here for a minute. What about those sins, though? We know He's paid for them all, but we are to come before the Lord and confess those things to Him, those that we know daily in our lives. Yet it doesn't happen with all of them. So what about those sins? I like a word I heard the preacher use about that one time. Absorb. He absorbs those. Now we're going to go before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to have our works tried in the fire, and we're going to suffer loss, and we're going to have a reward. But there's an absorbing of those sins that Jesus endures. Okay? Now what about you and I? What about when we forgive an offense committed against us and it's committed again? And we forgive and it goes on again and again. There's a big question for many people as to what we do about that. We endure it. We absorb it. We absorb it. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. We are being conformed into the image of God's dear Son. You think of the scenarios of what we carry out with those offenses against us. I can tell you many wrong ways to do it. I can tell you many ways that I thought I was compromising and I could just do this or say this or act this way. And I have the liberty to do that. Guess what? I left with absolutely no peace whatsoever. Absorb it. Absorb those things against us. It's better to suffer for doing right than for doing wrong. The alternative isn't good. It isn't good. Walk in the new man and be forgiving. It's going to be verse 31 for us, the old man, or verse 32 for us, the new man. We're going to choose. We're either going to be bitter and full of wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and all malice in the old man, or we're going to put on the new man, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Not that there's an option with God. He's commanded us to put effort into putting on the new man, and He will bless that effort. But of course, people walk away and go the other direction. Is the grass greener on the other side of the fence when we can hold back doing these things? That's not what we see in verse 31. One might rebel and put on the old man, but if we'll repent and put on the new man, that's where victory is. That's where victory is for the child of God. That's being what we are. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're not the old man anymore. We're the new man. And God tells us how we're able to walk as the new man and what He is going to do through us. So we don't want to be what we were. We want to be what we are. Amen.